Hello, this is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. Today I'm interviewing Peter Barron, who is the editor of a new book called California the Beautiful, Photographs by Galen Roll. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. Well, you're in California. I'm in Connecticut. I think it's appropriate for us to be talking about this book, the subtitle of which is Spirit and Place. And maybe you could talk a little bit about how this book came to be. I know Galen Roll is passed away in 2002 as the result of a plane crash, which is pretty terrible. What prompted you to do this book?
Well, I knew Galen for about 20 years, and 16 of those we worked together. I was at Sierra Club Books, and he was producing books for the Sierra Club. And one of the little-known aspects of Galen was the fact that he loved quotations, and he carried index cards around with him, and whenever he came across a good quote, he would write it down. He collected quotations. And I was very interested in putting a book together that combined quotations with photographs and attempted to achieve a multi-layered approach to the photograph so that there was a running text of the quotations and the photographs complemented that text or vice versa. We did this book because there was an extension of a book that Galen did called North America the Beautiful. And at the time, I was working for California AAA in their publishing department. And I said, Galen, why don't we do California the Beautiful? And so we did. We published with Welcome Books in New York, which is Lena Tabori's company. Lena's, of course, a very well-known person in publishing and the founder of Stuart Tabori and Chang, and known for her high production values. So Galen was very happy with the production values of this book, which he saw roughly 2 weeks before he died. This, in fact, was the last book he put together before his death, and was originally published in 2002 and just released in a new expanded edition.
So that's what this is, the second version of that book.
Yes, it is.
The photographs, I mean, they're spectacular. I've seen his work before and always admired them. But one of the things that I did not realize was that he was a mountain climber, so kind of makes clear that some of these photographs he got while climbing mountains.
Well, he was a very accomplished climber, both a mountain climber and a free climber, that is, rock climber. He had 100 first ascents by the age of 30, so he was a recognized mountain climber, and that enabled him to get to places that other photographers couldn't and take photographs from angles that they couldn't reach because they weren't mountain climbers.
Well, and his the thing that strikes me is the color. I mean, his sense of color. Now, maybe I haven't really studied his work, in terms of photographs he's taken worldwide, but his views of California are just unbelievably beautiful.
I think that the term that I use to describe his photography is super real. And he had the unusual attribute of framing the photographs in his mind before he took them. He composed them in his mind. He also used certain filters and relied on saturated colors, which are further enhanced in the printing, so that these photographs both are photographs of real places, and they take on a symbolic meaning as well, in the sense that they are super real.
And that they're altered, in a sense, from the, you know, they're not just documentations of place, but they're evocations of place based on his manipulation of color. Is that fair?
Well, you could say that. You could also say interpretation of color, because I think that there is a moment when you look on a beautiful scene, a sunset or a sunrise, where it looks super real to you, and then you, your mind's eye reorganizes it into everyday perception. He was also a scholar of the science of human perception and read extensively on that subject.
Well, his, it's clear that he was thinking and working hard to express a particular view of these places. And, you know, I've not been to every place in this book by any stretch of the imagination, but they are incredibly powerful. You know, obviously anybody going through a book of photographs will come up with favorites. But I also wanted to ask you about the quotations, which you brought up earlier. There, almost every page has a quotation from some either well-known or perhaps lesser-known writer.
The quotations are taken from California writers and visitors, writer visitors who spent some time in California. They also express the other theme, which is spirit, the spirit of California. Gerald Haslam, who is a scholar of California literature, is quoted saying that the first mention of the Golden State in literature, Las Sergas de Esplandian, by García Ordóñez de Montalvo, antedated the European discovery of the area by two decades. He goes on to say that 30 million human beings experience life here every day, but California remains at least as much a state of mind as a state of the Union. So his point is that California was imagined before it was discovered.
Well, and in a certain sense, that is the nature of California. It has been the repository of dreams for so many people. It is almost both a real place and an imaginary place. Maybe you could read some of the quotations. I think some of them are really powerful, and I think that you know, they really come across well.
Well, to amplify your thought, William Irwin Thompson, who's a cultural critic and author, wrote that California is not so much a state of the Union as it is an imagination that seceded from our reality a long time ago. In leading the world in transition from industrial to post-industrial society, California's culture became the first from coal to oil, from steel to plastic, from hardware to software, from materialism to mysticism, from reality to fantasy. California became the first to discover that it was fantasy that led to reality and not the other way around. And I think that thought is summed up with Richard Rodriguez, the filmmaker, who says, at the end of geographic possibility and under a paradisical sun, California traditionally has played America's wild child, America's America. So as America stands to the rest of the world, California stands to America, a land of promise. One of the things that I discovered researching this book was California was also known as the land of the second chance. And it has to do with people, I guess, coming out to the gold rush and starting their lives over again.
Well, and I think that's a theme that obviously it goes through into the 20th century as well. For millions of people, California was a land of opportunity that that did represent a second chance. And
Like the Okies and the Grapes of Wrath and the Dust Bowl and all that.
Right, but in a lot of ways, this book is about sort of ironically, the wild places, in some cases, the least inhabited places of California, which are, the images that a lot of us have of the place, sort of there is that kind of tension between the desire to be in a place that's beautiful, but also the desire to keep what's wild and free still wild and free, and not allow it to be trampled by as many people as there are. And I think that's partially a theme of this book as well.
Well, there is a sub-theme dealing with preservation. And there are quotes from Gary Snyder and John Muir and Wallace Stegner that speak to that. Ironically, the original inspiration for this book was Ray Bradbury. And Ray had done a magazine piece for Esquire exclaiming how California was the new world to America, and he had done this in the 1970s, and that article was actually the initial inspiration for this book.
Well, I think pretty successfully too.
Thank you.
I was looking. There is one in here which is a poem of Lew Welch's, who happens to be one of my favorite poets and someone who. When I was much younger, I read and kind of got a... I think it was Lew Welch and Gary Snyder who kind of documented wilderness and the idea of the loner poet going out into the wilderness to feel him or herself against the scale of nature. I think the Lew Welch poem in here is really good. It's called This Is...
Well, of course, that's also of a... that's of a commonplace... It's not particularly outlying or wild. It has to do with Marin County.
Right. The headlands.
The headlands, yeah. It's a place you can get to in 10 minutes from the city.
I know. It's sort of the irony of California to me often is that there are these incredibly spectacular places, and literally minutes away will be an urban area with millions of people. Some of the coast, particularly, that you have coastal areas of California near Los Angeles, near San Diego, San Francisco, that are spectacularly beautiful.
And surrounded by wilderness, yes.
Right. It's just amazing. And, the vastness of California, the scale and the number of ecosystems that exist there are just overwhelming. To the mind, that you can
imagine.
Well,
it is interesting. I figure that the distances, the everyday distances in California are approximately double what they are on the East Coast. So in other words, you can get from New York to Boston in 250 miles. You can get from San Francisco to Los Angeles in 500 miles. People think nothing of driving 90 minutes to go out for dinner here. And that would be the equivalent of 45 minutes back east.
No, I think that's true. Well, it's partially the west and the scale. It's also, of course, the fact that it's car culture and people travel endlessly in their cars there, which is sort of, again, another feature of this book is there is not a vehicle visible in any one of these photographs that I could find, and in fact,
there's no evidence of man in any
right
any photograph except one where there's a the silhouette of a climber looking out from a mountain peak.
Right, I think I found one that where there was a person on the top of a rock or something.
Maybe yeah, that's exactly right, and that's a Gary Snyder quote
right.
accompanying that.
I think it's hard to talk about a visual book. In a discussion like this, and really communicate some of the qualities of it. But as you said, the saturated color, the just almost mystical quality of some of these photographs is really evocative for me. And they're very photographs that draw you in think, you know, you mentioned the duality of spirit and place. You know, that kind of tension, as we've used the word irony a couple of times, it runs throughout the book.
Well, the most ironic quote accompanies a photograph of Half Dome in the Sierra, and it's Maya Angelou, who actually lived in San Francisco for quite a long period of time. And she says something like, nature don't care. If it's going to snow, it's going to snow. Doesn't matter whether you're wearing a bikini or not.
Yeah, it's great. That's, you know, and I think that's really, you know, the power of place, that it is bigger than we are. It's irrelevant what our desires are. You know, the places are going to be what they are. The weather will be what it is. And it's our job to adapt rather than for us to impose our will over nature and place, which is a great message. Well, I want to thank you, Peter. Peter Barron, editor of the new book called California the Beautiful, Photographs by Galen Rowell, published by Welcome Books. Thanks so much, Peter. It's good talking to you.
Good talking to you, David, and thanks for having me.
Sure enough. This is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors.